Now, an organisation which supports victims of domestic violence has come out strongly against the idea of legislating to recognise parental alienation. That's where one parent turns their child against the other. Those who support the formal recognition of parental alienation as a concept argue that it is a serious form of child abuse. A policy paper published by the Department of Justice on Thursday described parental alienation as highly contested, with opinions divergent on whether it exists at all. It said legislating for the concept would be premature and ill-advised. In a moment, we will hear from family law solicitor Donna McGowan, but first we're joined by Sarah Benson from Women's Aid. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon.
Do you accept that parental alienation happens in hostile relationship breakdown? Sometimes one parent does try to turn their children against the other parent.
What I recognise absolutely is that in separations, painful family breakups, there can be situations where there is some kind of estrangement occurs, where children kind of get stuck in the middle, maybe get a little bit weaponized. What we absolutely dispute, though, is this very loose and very widespread invocation of the term parental alienation, because for Women's Aid, and our work is primarily in the context of where there is domestic abuse, where there is coercive control, there is extremely strong evidence to show that parental alienation, specifically as what can only be referred to as a pseudo concept, it's kind of pseudoscience, is invoked specifically to distract and deflect from coercive control, which is actually defined in law and is a criminal offence here. And the whole system, unfortunately, and this is not just an issue for Ireland, but internationally, is one that has very gendered consequences, where actually survivors of coercive control, including children, have their rights undermined by the use of this particular term. But it's not to say that painful circumstances do not happen in other forms of family breakup.
I mean, do you not accept, though, that, you know, in those very difficult circumstances, sometimes where two parents are hostile towards one another, that a parent can manipulate children and turn the child against the other parent?
Yes, I absolutely do accept that that happens.
Is that not parental alienation then?
Parental alienation as a term was coined many decades ago. It has been highly, highly undermined in terms of its credibility. The person who actually established it, and initially it was referred to as parental alienation syndrome, it has long been associated as a very dangerous tool that was used to deflect, in many cases, child sexual abuse cases. So it is the concept and the use of this concept. And in fact, there is a whole industry that has built up behind this, which, you know, internationally now is being very widely recognized as being damaging, specifically where there is domestic violence and abuse. Indeed, the UN Violence Against Women Special Rapporteur published a very, very categorically clear report 2 weeks ago on custody violence against women and children, which absolutely calls on the rejection of the term parental alienation. What I think is so important to say is that where there is family breakdown, where there is manipulation of children, of course we see that happens, and it's incredibly painful for the parents involved. But
your principal concern
needs to
be case by case. Yes, your principal concern. If I mean the policy paper that we referred to has come out against legislating for the concept of parental alienation. But those who call for it, for that legislation, what impact would that have, we'll say, on in cases where there is domestic violence going on in a relationship?
Well, what we would say is that there is actually a very clear tool and structure, and now recognised in law, mechanism to look at the kinds of behaviours you're talking about, where children are weaponised or caught in the middle, where there is abuse. That is coercive control. It is not parental alienation. And in fact, the very, very narrow parameters of parental alienation, which also includes very troubling processes, including deprogramming of children, is actually what it's referred to, and approaches which are kind of pseudo-medicalised, very, very worrying. Whereas actually, if you look at it and you can respond in the context of knowing coercive control, then you can have an effective response that also is borne out by the recognition of that concept in law.
All right, Sarah Benson from Women's Aid, thank you for talking to us today. We're joined in studio now by Donna McGowan. You are an experienced family law solicitor working mainly in the circuit court, Donna McGowan. And do you see these cases where children are in effect weaponized? One parent would turn the child against the other parent. And would you categorize it as parental alienation?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is that these cases, as the last speaker said, arise from generally speaking highly contested cases of custody and access disputes, very often over long-ranging disputes and multiple applications to the court. What I would say, firstly, I suppose, is that in my experience, and I think it's borne out in the policy paper, is that the concept of parental alienation, while there seems to be, there's clearly a lack of a definition, there's a lack of research around it, there's a lack of academic studies, there appears to be highly conflicting academic studies around the issue. My experience, certainly, and that borne out by the policy paper, is that parental alienation has been recognised by the Irish courts. So it is a concept that which is there in being in use. I think it's a concept which is developing and evolving over time in terms of its recognition as a concept.
And in what sort of circumstances would that be recognised then? I mean, what would give rise to a court to recognise the issue of parental alienation?
Well, while I think that there is no, and there's a lot of concepts, there's parental alienation, there's parental alienation syndrome, there's parental alienation disorder. So I think this is a useful policy paper in terms of starting to talk about this issue and really to educate people and understand what's involved. But in essence, as I would see it and understand it, is that parental alienation involves essentially four core elements. The first is that there is a rejection by a child of one of the parents. The second element is that there is no rational, objective reason why that would have taken place. In other words, you're looking at all the reasons why a child might reject a parent and you're excluding those and saying that they do not exist. So typically, why a child might reject a parent is obviously situations of abuse, whether directed against the child or directed against the mother. And so it's about looking at those and saying, no, they're absent here. The third element is that there is an involvement of the other parent, where there is objective evidence where the other parent has effectively engaged in what are called alienating behaviours. That is to say, the steps to undermine the relationship of the other parent with the child. And the fourth one, which sometimes is not referred to as part of the criteria or definition, but I think is important, is whether there has been a prior positive relationship between the child and the parent who subsequently is claiming to have been alienated.
So if the courts then are already recognising the concept of parental alienation, does it cause a problem if there is no legal definition of that concept?
I think it does. And I think as well that I would agree with the last speaker, is that to my mind there is clear evidence that people who have been guilty of domestic violence, domestic abuse, coercive control, have seized upon this concept of parental alienation to say, no, the child is not rejecting me because of my behaviours. The child is rejecting me because of the behaviours of the mother. And that seems to be, anecdotally, certainly in my experience, and certainly in the policy paper and internationally, that seems to be a growing problem and an issue. And clearly the courts need to be aware of that in order to be able to identify what is the reason why the child has rejected the parent.
If the government, the Department of Justice, does not, if it takes the advice of this policy paper and does not legislate for the concept of parental alienation, how are the courts going to continue to deal with cases where circumstances which some would classify as parental alienation come up?
Well, I first and foremost, I don't know that there's a need necessarily for legislation in the area. The courts are dealing with this issue, and of course the courts have to deal with this issue. If you have a parent coming to court saying that my child has rejected me, I do not know why, then the court is obliged to investigate that, both in the context of determining the welfare and the interests of the child, and also in terms of vindicating the rights of parents to go to court. So it's already happening. I think what needs to happen is, I certainly think what needs to happen is there needs to be far more research and education into this, so that all parties involved in this can understand what's involved, the parameters, the dangers that are involved in this area. And I also think that more particularly what the courts need are far more resource, expertise, training, which is hopefully coming down the road in terms of the reform of the, and a specialist family courts.
Donagh McGowan, family law solicitor, thank you for joining us today.